This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And a good morning to you. It is a throwback Thursday today as we go back to 1979 and Super Bowl 13, Pittsburgh beating the Dallas Cowboys. Championship weekend is slowly upon us. We all have the good, the bad, and the dumb this hour. Also, Matt Reynoldson is going to join us from CBS 5 in Green Bay to talk about the Packers, talk about their season. Really fun. I mean, when you think about it, it's not just that they went, you know, had the number one seed in the NFC and Aaron Rodgers threw 48 touchdowns this year. But man, that conversation we were having in April about Jordan Love getting drafted and why aren't they getting him weapons? And, you know, and him and Davante Adams have had such a good year. But Aaron Rodgers will be finally hosting a championship game at Lambeau. And if there's one guy that is relaxed, that doesn't feel the kind of pressure, or at least doesn't appear to have the pressure, it is Aaron Rodgers. But on the flip side, you have Tom Brady. And in the same vein, right? No, the job isn't complete. He's always competitive. They're always competitive. But you got to think, too, that, man, he has done what he was supposed to do, put Tampa Bay in a competitive position in a conference where, you know, you run into a landmine or two, but you can also navigate your way through it, even as a 5 seed. And Brady is a win away from going to Super Bowl 10, and Rodgers is a win away from going to his second as a starting quarterback. I think the storylines in that game are so great around the two quarterbacks, but I think it really is also about the two franchises. What we were talking about this offseason couldn't be more different, right? With the Buccaneers landing Brady, eliminating an element at the quarterback position that they knew was detrimental to their success, taking Jameis Winston and his 30 interceptions off the board, getting a quarterback who does not throw a lot of them and will still produce you the touchdown passes that you're looking for and running that offense. And in Green Bay, it felt like, are they looking to the future already? What are they doing drafting this kid? Why aren't they helping Aaron Rodgers out? The two off-season conversations of these two teams, totally, totally different. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next as we continue along. It is the Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. So, it's throwback Thursday, 1979. The music's been good. The Steelers winning over the Dallas Cowboys in Super Bowl 13 on this date has been good. But it's not the good of the day. What is the good of the day?
Well, yesterday there was a little event that happened. I don't know if you caught any of it.
The inauguration?
The inauguration.
I did not watch 1 second of that thing.
I should have. It's history.
Yeah, I know.
But remember, by history, I mean that was yesterday's news.
Yeah.
But there's one
I sleep a lot in the afternoon, and when I woke up, it was over.
Yeah. There's one thing that you probably noticed if you peruse social media at all. And I got to say, there are some clever people out there, and that's the Bernie Sanders meme. Have you seen
okay,
it?
Okay, I am completely in the dark. So this is one where I normally go, yeah, I saw that. I do not know what you're talking
about. Well, you're now you won't be able to not see it. How about that? It could slide into the dumb because you won't be able to unsee it. But anyways, there is a photo taken of Bernie Sanders sitting in all his Vermont glory. And he pulled his chair away from, into the middle of the aisle so he can maintain social distancing. So he looks like he's alone, just sitting there in the most Bernie Sanders way. People have taken that image of him and have posted it everywhere with famous situations where one could be sitting.
Oh, okay.
So they have him like...
That seems like fun.
They have him sitting, you know, in that image, they have him sitting in the, looks like the captain's chair of the USS Enterprise. They have him sitting on one of the gridiron, that, you know, that famous photo of the steelworkers building the Empire State Building. He's now on the end of that. Top, you know, the best one, though, I think, was that they replaced Bernie Sanders with the fly on Mike Pence's head.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
So it's just, it's Photoshop glory at its finest that it just, you know, people have just taken this and just running with it all over the place. There's a lot of creative people. It's kind of fun.
Very
I'm
good.
Not going to lie to you. I mean, and then the memes to go with it, you know, just have him sitting in a classroom and, you know, people saying, oh, he's the teacher that says, it's okay, I'll wait. Because it's the way he's sitting. It's just,
well, he's an old man.
He is an old man, but it's just funny. Like, I don't know. I mean, just the way people can think up different situations.
That's I remember when Tim Howard made all of those saves in the World Cup in 2010 or one of those
yes.
years. They took that a meme of him diving for a ball and putting him saving certain situations
everywhere,
and that was really clever. So,
it's,
yes, people
it's
can
like
be
that.
Very clever with that. That's
it's,
very
it's
good.
It's that situation. And it's
very
just
good.
Everywhere right now. And, you know, people now have reserved to, I'm going to build a collection of them and put it on my Twitter page so you can see 16 of them right in a row.
Wow. That's good. That's good. All right. What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is you got to get ready for your next Tiger King documentary.
Are they really going to do that?
No, it's different. I don't think they have it in the works yet, but if they don't, they might be missing out on something because it could work. This one would highlight the Monkey Whisperer.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's go back. When you said Tiger King documentary, you
Tiger
mean
King
a Tiger King like documentary.
Yeah, Tiger King
not a new Tiger King documentary.
No.
Okay. I got
no,
you.
No,
I got you.
That ship has sailed. Everyone now is, you know, the last big thing they'll ever do is Carol Baskin on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. I still cannot believe people thought Trump would pardon him. He had no chance of being pardoned. He's guilty as sin.
He rented a limo for it. He was ready. He thought for sure.
Just because he thinks he's getting pardoned, I don't understand why a lot of people in America thought he was going to get pardoned.
By the way, you know, side note for the bad, you know, piggyback on the bad, you know what his excuse, he said the reason why Trump didn't pardon him? He was too gay.
Oh, please. Because he's guilty.
No, it's because you're guilty.
Hiring a hitman to kill somebody else.
I mean,
all right, so the Monkey Whisperer.
The Monkey Whisperer. And I'll give you one guess of what state he's out of.
Florida?
Florida.
Yeah.
So anyways, he's been selling or trafficking illegal monkeys all across this great country.
He's been selling illegal monkeys?
Yes.
What makes an illegal
monkey?
Well,
most states don't allow monkeys. And that's where he's getting into trouble.
Are we talking like chimpanzees?
I'm talking like wildlife monkeys. Yeah, capuchin monkeys.
Okay.
And then, or rare and endangered monkeys, like this little marmoset monkey, which, you know, if you ever see them in the zoo,
they're cute.
Cute.
Yeah.
They're cute.
But you can't own one.
He's been known to sell them. Well, they're endangered.
I mean,
can't give them just anyone. But, yeah, he has, I guess, been doing this for years and years. And, you know, he got busted because he ended up selling one to someone who lives in California. California has very strict rules on what kind of animal. You can't even own a ferret in California.
You know, if they made it so that people could own the monkeys, they wouldn't be endangered anymore.
You think?
Well, what do people do with them? They kill them as soon as they get them?
No,
like,
if
you create a market where people want one and would take care of one, then you breed them.
But what you're talking about is like the beginning saga of Planet of the Apes. Where they
Well, I don't want to get too extreme, but what I'm saying is that if you create a business where there's a lot of demand, then they wouldn't be endangered.
That's true.
You'd actually create a market for it, and then it's like when we talk about crops, like certain plants and stuff. If you have an incentive to grow it, then they would not be extinct anymore.
I think you might be onto something. Don't know if it's the right path to go.
But well, like, if you leave it to Mother Nature, Mother Nature will just make them extinct.
Well, we all think that, but then, you know, I got to remind you of Ian Malcolm, of Jeff Goldblum. You know, life finds a way.
Right. Well, not all the time. The passenger pigeon isn't around, and the California condor is dead.
No, the California condor is still around.
Is it still around?
Yeah, it's still kicking. Dodo bird is gone.
The dodo bird. Yeah, okay.
Dodo bird is gone. California condor. I've seen a couple.
All right.
But
is he in trouble?
Oh, no. He's getting prosecuted, or he's indicted on charges now.
Oh, wow.
For illegal animal sales, because he ended up selling one to California, but his claim was, I did not sell this monkey to someone who lived in California. I sold it to someone who lives in Nevada, which is, I guess, it's legal to own a monkey there.
Sure. I mean, Mike Tyson had a tiger in Nevada, so.
And then, you know, they transported it over the border to California, so that's not his deal, so he's trying to fight it. But
real quick, so what's the Tiger King twist?
Well, just because it's another animal documentary of someone selling wildlife animals to somebody else.
The deal with Tiger King that made it so appealing was he hired someone to murder somebody else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got FBI involved here, so we don't know the whole backstory yet.
That's true. He could be,
There's a rival monkey seller out there.
Yeah,
maybe not a monkey whisperer like him. Maybe you know, someone who's gone bananas. I don't know.
Oh, man, owning exotic pets is, I mean.
It's all the rage.
It can be a very lucrative underground business.
But here's the thing. Okay, you know about a capuchin monkey. That was the monkey made famous in Friends. Remember Ross?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes.
So that's a capuchin monkey. One of the traits of a capuchin monkey is that they enjoy and they like to soak their feet and hands in their own urine to leave their scent around.
Oh, well, then I'm out. I won't own one of those things.
I don't know. Where's the appeal of
that? Yeah, where's the appeal of that? No.
You know, of course, they scream at all hours of the night.
Yeah, that is true. Good point. Yeah, no, you don't want that.
So,
you don't want,
yeah,
you don't
so,
want
but I mean, I'm just saying, I'm announcing it now. There could be a Monkey Whisperer documentary out there. I'm
all
not
right.
100% sure, but it'll probably be coming to a Netflix near you.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
I kind of got two.
All right.
Because one's really quick, because I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you know who the Paul brothers are, Logan and Jake?
We do this every now and then.
Yeah, Logan Paul is all set to fight Floyd Mayweather, where he will die, I think. Because, you know, Floyd Mayweather is arguably, you know, one of the greatest boxers of all time, although boring.
Right.
But his brother, Jake Paul, who is the one who knocked out Nate Robinson, a basketball player, not a fighter. If you remember, we talked about that. Keeps challenging and keeps pushing to fight Conor McGregor.
Why? Who would do that?
I see you're looking at it the same way
there are professional fighters that don't want to fight Conor McGregor.
Right. Isn't Conor McGregor just a legal trained mercenary?
Yes.
Like, isn't that how you look at him?
Like, you're going to get hurt really badly, like badly, if you fight Conor McGregor and you're not a professional.
If he grew up, you know, if he was his age 20, 30 years ago, he would be the ranking member of the IRA, right?
I got to think.
I mean, so I don't understand, but he keeps pushing it. And now it's gotten to a point where Conor, who was set to fight, I can't remember who was set to fight, it doesn't matter. He's set to fight someone next month. He's not ruling it out. He's like, we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah,
but I'm concentrating on this.
All right, that is very dumb.
But the other dumb is this one kind of cracked me up. He's a former Olympian. His name is Nick Simmons, who is a runner.
Runner, okay.
And he did this thing. He does all these challenges on YouTube. These workout challenges where he's raced go-karts or Teslas. He had a fitness challenge where he was doing 300 push-ups a day for 30 days. He also had, he's a world record holder in what's called the beer mile.
So what's that?
So you drink a beer, you run a lap. So you drink a beer four times, beer mile. So every single mile you run, you pound a beer. And then you just keep running again.
Wait a minute, reverse that. Every mile you run or every lap?
Every lap you run.
So it's a quarter mile track.
Yeah.
You drink a beer, you run a quarter mile, drink a beer, run a quarter mile. Okay.
Yeah. But he talked about one of the craziest ones he ever did. And this one just sounds disgusting to me. It's called the Big Mac mile.
He ate a Big Mac every lap?
Yeah.
Okay, that would get bad.
Fast, right?
Real fast.
I mean, if you have one Big Mac, you're... I've never been in a mood to do anything except sit on the couch and just feel shame.
I ate two Big Macs one time a long time ago when I was younger and in better shape.
And ran two laps, right?
And I thought I was killing myself. I was like, you know, and it's a good sandwich, a delicious sandwich, but
yes.
I ate two just because I was young and we're like, yeah, I have two Big Macs. And I thought, oh God, that's That I don't feel so hot. That's a lot.
No, because
so four of them. But if you're an elite runner and your body's a furnace, maybe.
Well, he is
it's a lot of secret sauce and a lot of McDonald's Big Mac sauce.
He's an Olympian and talked about how that was the worst thing he ever put his body through.
Was the Big Mac challenge?
Was the Big Mac?
If I'm McDonald's, I roll that out as as an ad campaign tomorrow.
And get him to do it again, right?
Yeah.
It's like, come on, it's not that bad.
I was telling my wife the other day that when I was in college, my roommates and I we were having a championship NFL championship party, and we bought snacks. It was just the three of us. We bought snacks, and I bought a bag of a thing of double stuffed Oreos, just a regular thing of double stuffed Oreos. I ate the whole thing in one day. And my wife was like, "That's disgusting." I go, "Well, you got to understand those two games, long games. We started in the morning. I ran, but it was one of those things where at the end there was like eight cookies left, and my roommates were like, "You got to eat those, man. You got to eat those. You got to finish the box." And so it was silly and dumb. But even that was like, ugh. Like these eating challenges are tough.
Yeah,
they're tough. Four Big Macs and running a lap in between, even if you're an elite runner, that's got to be really draining on the body. The body's like, whoa, what we're doing?
Hurt.
We're doing one or the other, but we're not doing both.
See, I think I could do one. I think I could run a lap. I don't even know if you because you run a lap and then you eat a Big Mac.
Yeah, and he's doing it for time. He's not trying to finish. He's trying to set a time for that.
Yeah, he's not walking.
No, so he's not like, well, I'll just slowly jog while the Big Mac digests in my system. I got you.
It's like, you know what? I'll walk the corners. I'll walk the turns, but I'll sprint the straightaways. He's
not doing that. No, no, no. He's trying to set a time. Oh, that's, God bless him. But that's another dumb.
Yeah. I don't even know why you would have thought that. Beer mile, I can see doing that.
I can see doing that. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on Wake Up Call. Again, Matt Reynoldson is going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk Green Bay Packers. But coming up, a weird night for college basketball, but not unexpected. That's next on Wake Up Call.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, 1979, it's a Throwback Thursday. Steelers over the Cowboys in Super Bowl 13 in Miami. Second time they beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. The Cowboys would get their revenge in Super Bowl 30. But at that time, the Steelers just owned America's team, beating them for the second time in Super Bowl 13 on this date, 1979. We're doing 1979 music, which, you don't have to thank us. We're already thanking ourselves. All right. A weak battery could leave you stranded, so don't take a chance. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test that battery free of charge. And if that battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, last night, college basketball. I talked to Jerry Palm yesterday to sort of get a little bit of a primer, and one of the first questions I asked him, because first time we really discussed college basketball, is, hey, COVID-19, it's a different world now. How is covering the sport different, evaluating teams different? And it's complicated because there are games being postponed every night. Did you know last night 16 games in Division I were called off because of COVID-19? 16 games.
Okay.
From Texas, Iowa State, Texas Tech, TCU, Virginia, they got their game canceled. Virginia Tech did. So did Minnesota, and so did UConn and St. Louis. Those are the top 25 teams that didn't get to play. Marquette, Georgetown was postponed. Dayton, George Washington was postponed. Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, same thing. SMU, Tulane, Cincinnati, Temple, all postponed. All across the country. It wasn't like one conference shut down. All across the country, games were shut down yesterday because of COVID-19. Now, they got a lot in. Don't get me wrong. It was Wednesday night in college hoops, so they got a number of games in. But 16 games were called off. Oh, and by the way, one of the games that did get played, Kentucky lost again.
I saw that.
Not only did Kentucky lose, they were 1-for-13 from the three-point line.
What is going on?
This is going to make John Calipari quit. I'm telling you, they're 4-9. They're not going to make the tournament.
Is he facing some scrutiny that we don't know? I mean, like some FBI scandal that we don't know.
So he's,
he decided to do things by the book for the first time, and he's like, God, you can't win this.
You think Big Blue Nation is giving him a pass because of coronavirus?
No way,
no chance. Like, what is this? They lost to Georgia.
I know.
Georgia.
That basketball powerhouse.
Yeah. Georgia, who've won two straight after a four-game losing skid. Kentucky couldn't hit anything. Kentucky lost. It's amazing. Well, sometimes you have one of those years, but if you're at Kentucky, you're not really supposed to have one of those years. Michael on Twitter, back in my high metabolic teenage years when I played football in high school, I could eat 2-foot-long Subway sandwiches in one sitting. Yeah, like when you're younger, you just can do this. Like, I love a good Oreo cookie. I couldn't eat six without being sick. Like, I eat a whole bag in one day, in one playoff game. I eat a lot of milk, but a lot of it was just peer pressure because my silly roommates thought, "Now you're going to finish that bag right now. Get it done." We just laughed our way to sickness and a sugar high on another level.
I remember, being able to, go to Taco Bell, late night Taco Bell. The order that I would get at Taco Bell and just know that I could polish it off and feel fine is vastly different than what I could do today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what's funny is there's a brand new dessert place in my town, and we went there for ice cream. They do like cool little ice cream dishes. We went there like a couple months ago, and I liked their Facebook page because they were like our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram. And so I did. And every day they put out this new dessert concoction that's like, it's a milkshake, but it's got a lollipop in it and some cotton candy and 5 brownies and 2, like it's one of those things that's just this monstrous, this big dessert. And 20 years ago, I would have been like, oh, yeah. Now I go, oh, God, no. I can feel the sweetness eating away. I don't know if it's age. I don't know what it is. But you're right. When you're younger, you see you don't have any thought into what you're eating, how much you're eating. 2 dinners, it doesn't matter. Right? It's like if I'm at my buddy's house and we have dinner at his buddy's house and I go home and my mom has pizza, I'm eating pizza. Yeah. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like you're young enough to go, I'm eating. But you're older, it's like these things are just like I watch the old episodes of Man versus Food and I'm like, yikes. That's a 17-pound omelet. Why are you trying to eat that in 2 hours?
I would watch some of those, and there are some challenges I always thought I was like, you know what, I can do it. Right. There are definitely some because the food looked amazing. I would want to try.
Sure.
But there's no way that I'm ever putting my name up on a wall.
No.
I just know that for a certain
now. The only time I've ever done that is I did a hot wing eating contest. That was the only thing. And luckily it was 10 wings in this ghost pepper sauce that gave me awful, feeling afterwards.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like here's a 6-pound burrito for you to try to consume in 2 hours. Like, listen, I love a good steak, but I'm never going to Amarillo for that steak challenge. I will never, ever consume a 72-ounce steak. God bless everybody who goes there and does it.
Remember, it's not just a 72-ounce steak.
It's a shrimp cocktail salad and a baked potato. Is that right?
Yep.
It's not only the steak.
Not only the steak.
Right?
I guess the only food challenge I could do is if there's no time limit. If you could, if I had the time to, if I got 6 hours to kill, then maybe I can do it.
That's what I was trying to get through to my wife about when I was telling her the Oreo story. It's like, it's not like I ate a whole bag of Oreos in 10 minutes.
Right.
I ate the first one probably at 9 a.m. and I ate the last one probably at 10:30
at
night.
If you ate a whole thing of Oreos in 10 minutes,
it
comes with a side of diabetes.
Yeah, I think
I'm almost
you're
certain
right.
of it.
I said, I think I ate those Oreos in like a span of 13 hours.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not that impressive.
It's like the time when I was back in college, I had a case of beer to myself. It was throughout the entire day.
It was throughout the entire day.
It wasn't in one night. We had a function in college with my fraternity. It started at 10 a.m. and lasted until like 2 in the morning.
I'm glad we're talking about this because Super Bowl parties are now going to be more isolated events, right? Because of COVID, we're not going to
have... So we got to come up with our own challenges?
If you were... Imagine now you're like, well, we were going to have a Super Bowl party, but I still want the Super Bowl festivities. I just may not have all my friends and family over. So yeah, eat that crock pot full of small meatballs or the pigs in a blanket or... whatever it is you're making, but eat a lot of it because nobody else is going to be at your house.
No one's going to judge you. Well, it all depends. I mean, my wife would definitely judge me.
Yeah, my wife definitely will judge me.
Really? Another
plate? She'll do it at Christmas parties where she'll see me with a plate of food. She goes, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to fill the plate up like a mountain of food?
I skipped breakfast this morning. I only had one breakfast.
Matt Reynoldson joins us next from Green Bay to talk Packers on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
It is Throwback Thursday, 1979. On this date, the Steelers beat the Cowboys in Super Bowl XIII. The music this morning has been fantastic. Let's find more 1979 stuff in more Throwback Thursdays. This has been great. All right, let's go to our Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Matt Reynoldson joins us from CBS 5 in Green Bay to talk about the Packers. A 13-3 finish to the regular season. The number one seed, a win away from his second Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers, 48 touchdowns. There is so much to dissect. How are you, Matt?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great morning. And obviously a really fun week here in Green Bay. Obviously the storyline all surrounding Aaron Rodgers winning the Pro Football Writers Association MVP yesterday. This team is the talk of the town and has people buzzing even during a tough time for a lot of people around here.
Let's go to the offseason. And again, getting closer to a story, I always say the closer you are to something, maybe the more you see the details. But nationally, we saw Jordan Love, and why aren't they giving him weapons, and what's going on with Green Bay? Was it as intense locally as we made it out to be nationally, that particular draft pick?
You know, I don't think it actually was. Aaron Rodgers was very candid about it right after the draft pick of how he felt about it and how he wanted another weapon and how he, you know, maybe saw that his future wasn't in his control completely anymore. And he said he hasn't really changed how he felt about that, even now. And when people asked him a couple weeks ago after the win over the Bears to close out the regular season. But this offseason and this year, how unique it's been for everybody in the world, I think really caused Aaron Rodgers to focus and really find a lot of inner peace. And he's been very inquisitive, been very thoughtful this year, and just talks about finding his center a lot. And he even went back and looked at some old film from 2010 and 2011, record-breaking seasons in which he won a Super Bowl and Super Bowl MVP and then set the NFL all-time record for passer rating in 2011 on the way to a number one seed, one of the best seasons for a quarterback all time. You know, he went back and looked at some of that film and did a lot of inner thinking and started doing squats again and all these things that Aaron Rodgers mentioned that he's done differently in the press conferences just made for quite the season. And I don't think it was quite the chip on his shoulder factor that some might have made it out to be.
His relationship with Matt LaFleur and how it started and where it is today. I mean, and we all know the relationship with Mike McCarthy, but Matt LaFleur comes into a team that was ready to continue on and, you know, make playoffs, make Super Bowl runs. That's a lot for a young coach, but it is easier when there's an Aaron Rodgers there. What is their relationship like?
It's pretty incredible, actually, to see how their relationship has fostered. And I think it goes back to Matt LaFleur's personality and what he brings to a room. Being such a young coach like he is and meshing with veterans, not only Aaron Rodgers, but like David Bakhtiari, all-pro left tackle, Mercedes Lewis, a tight end that's been around the game for a long time. Guys like that are really the veterans and the culture setters in the room. Matt LaFleur just kind of adds to that, and he brings a mind that, you know, he is a player's coach, but he's going to put his players in the best situation to win and succeed, and he's cut from the same cloth as a Sean McVay, a Kyle Shanahan. He's coached with all these guys. He's one of these new age offensive geniuses, offensive gurus that are going to be fun to play for, especially on the offensive end. And then he sort of has the quality that a lot of people attribute back to the Belichick school of thought, in that every coach, every person in the organization has a role, do your job, and that the organization will be successful. So I think it's been very unique to see such a young coach in Matt LaFleur hit the ground running so fast. I think he's gotten a lot of great support from the organization, and a 28-7 record over 2 years certainly contributes to that.
All right, we talk about Rodgers, Devontae Adams, but defensively, what does this Green Bay unit look like?
It certainly looks a lot better than it did earlier in the season, and looks a lot better than it did last postseason. The run defense has figured it out. How about that game against Tennessee a couple weeks ago on Sunday Night Football? The run defense was always the question, and then they go out there and they hold Derrick Henry, the NFL's leading rusher, two straight 2,000-yard seasons, under 100 yards in a primetime game in the snow in Green Bay. I mean, Mike Pettine has figured this thing out. It certainly looks like the right decision. They stuck with him, and they've got great players at every level of this defense. Kenny Clark in the middle of that defense, the highest paid nose tackle in league history. Za'Darius Smith is an all-pro once again. And then Jair Alexander might be the best corner in the NFL. Him, Xavien Howard, or Jalen Ramsey. And he certainly outplayed Ramsey last week in that divisional round. So Jair Alexander has been unbelievable. They call him Jaw Island out there. But Pettine has some players out there, and it really comes back to one moment in the middle of the season. Defensive players talked about it before, I believe it was week 10 or week 11. They went into Pettine's office. They said, hey, we need you to simplify the pass rush. And it might not have been the most rosy conversation. It might have been a little contentious between players and coach, or however those conversations really go between, you know, adult guys playing football, you know, hopped up on testosterone, playing the game, everything like that. But, you know, you go in, you have those conversations, and since he simplified that pass rush, since he simplified the defense, this team has been playing on a different level, and I really liken it to how the Chiefs in last year's Super Bowl run improved their defense down the stretch. This team's playing its best football right now.
A lot of people will look at the Week 6 matchup. That might as well be 100 years ago. These teams are different, and there were circumstances in that 38-10 loss to Tampa Bay that I don't think a lot of people are bringing up. Devontae Adams had returned. But is there something about that game that still we can pick apart, whether it is Tampa Bay's blitzing that got to Rodgers in that game, that we could look at and see possibly being a factor on Sunday?
You know, I think the interesting thing about that game to me was Tampa Bay was the first team, and Todd Bowles was the first defensive coordinator this year, to really key in and figure out Matt LaFleur's motion tactics. So we talk about this year how Green Bay has been the highest scoring offense in the NFL and how they kill teams with motion. Last week they ran motion on over 70% of their snaps and really crushed the number one defense in the NFL in doing that for almost 500 yards. Well, Tampa Bay was the first defense to key in on that, and it goes back to those stellar inside linebackers they have in Devin White and Levante David. Well, Matt LaFleur wasn't really able to handle that, and then you add in a couple uncharacteristic Rodgers mistakes early in that game, a pick six and then another near pick six, and they never really get on track in that game. Tampa Bay is able to control clock. Ronald Jones had a stellar game in that one and keep Rodgers off the field. There was never really a rhythm or a flow to that game. Brady throws a touchdown to Gronk, and this one's over in the first half. So I think a different script is pretty likely to follow in this one. And I think they learned a lot from that game, and they were disappointed with how they came out in that one, and they were also disappointed in their week of preparation. So I expect this week of preparation to be a little bit different, especially for a home game.
We were talking earlier today about how, you know, with Tom Brady, when he was playing for the Patriots in the AFC, teams would be good and teams would have a good offense or they'd have a good defense, but it was always judged against the Patriots. Can you get through the Patriots? The NFC never really had that. Seattle had a moment, Packers had a moment, Saints had a moment, but nobody really dominated the way the Patriots dominated the NFC. That being said, is it a fair assessment of Rodgers' career that he only has gone to one Super Bowl? One Super Bowl should be enough. But a guy like him, is it a fair question to ask?
You know what? I think it's a good question, and I think there's a lot of different layers to that. You could also say that no team has been to more NFC championships in the past 10 years than the Packers, and Rodgers is at that stage a lot But for the first time in his career, he is hosting an NFC championship this week. And obviously, we will see if that pays off against a really good Bucs team, and a Bucs team that, like you mentioned, took him to the woodshed earlier this year. So, with an NFC that is just rife with parity, and an NFC North that has had some really good teams over the years, the Vikings have been in an NFC championship. Obviously, the Bears have been in an NFC championship in the last decade. The Lions are what they are, but they've made the playoffs a few times. So the NFC North has been more competitive than divisions like the AFC East, and even the AFC West have been at times. I think you look at the NFC and top to bottom, the parity has always been there. So I think you can look at the Packers and say, you know, they may not have dominated, they may not have been to the amount of Super Bowls that a Brady or that some of these AFC teams did, which is just kind of a cycling dynasty between Brady, Peyton, and Ben, it seems. And say, you know, that might be a result of the NFC having a little more top to bottom as opposed to the AFC.
Matt, really good time, really good stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, and hope to catch up with you down the road.
Yep, thanks. Anytime. Thanks for
you got
us.
It. Matt Reynolds joining us on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at progressive.com. Matt Reynolds of CBS 5 in Green Bay. On the Packers again, 13-3, and a win away from a Super Bowl within a 10-year period. It is remarkable. When you think about it, you get a quarterback, they get them in bunches, you know, and they get good, but the last one was 2010 season into 2011. Here we are 10 years later, and he's a win away from going to his second one. All right, we'll come back. Some final thoughts on Championship Sunday as we continue with Wake Up Call.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We're both too tired to sleep.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Again, Throwback Thursday, 1979, Kenny Rogers, who passed away in 2020, one of the celebrities that we lost in the 2020 year.
And Dolly just celebrated 75, because we know the two of them go hand in hand.
That's right.
So you know what that means. Right. We're on the lookout for a certain magazine to hit shelves.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I know. Dolly Parton. Gotta love her. I love that
one. You gotta.
Gotta love her.
American Treasure.
By the way, on this song, the first time I heard this song a number of times. My mother was a big Kenny Rogers fan, so he played the Gambler album. But there's a great rendition of this song on The Muppet Show from the 1970s.
Really?
When he hosted. It's a great, look, if you like The Muppet Show, I loved The Muppet Show, right, with all the celebrities that were on that show. He's on a train with the puppet, and the puppet turns into a ghost and sings with him. It's really good. It's a really good musical set with the Muppets on The Muppet Show. So there's two little 70s aspects to the – I heard The Muppet Show is going to be on Disney Plus, the old shows.
The old ones?
Yeah, that's what
That'll
I heard.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. Those were good. Alice Cooper was on The Muppet Show once.
Everyone was.
Everybody wanted to be. That was made it great. They filmed it in London, and everybody wanted to be on it because it was the best week. They treated the stars like stars, everything, you know, catered to their every whim, and it was a fun week, and everyone had a great time. And then when word got out how great it was, everybody's agent called Jim Henson. It's like, my guy wants to be on the show.
My guy wants to talk to your hand.
Yeah, and exactly. And the show was extremely popular. Huge ratings boost, so you're always promoting something. All right, so the championship game's on Sunday. If you were to say to me, in terms of the competitiveness of the games, we're leaning towards Bucks-Packers, or are we leaning towards Chiefs-Bills in terms of competitiveness? I gotta think Packers, Buccaneers, because I just
But if
I'm kind of waning from my love of Buffalo, and I really don't want to do that.
But here's the caveat: if Mahomes is cleared to play, aren't you more excited to see like the first big rival between Mahomes and Allen?
I am very worried in this game, and I don't watch every Bills game from start to finish.
Yeah.
So I don't know the tendencies of Sean McDermott as well as I do, let's say, you know, Mike Vrabel at the Tennessee Titans or some other teams that I watch constantly. But what I'm worried about is this.
You have got to go into Arrowhead Stadium and you've got to say, look, we are going to go after everything, right? We are going to play aggressive. We are, like, what I'm worried about is that one third down play that comes up 2 yards short and they punt in a back and forth game.
And let's face it, this might be the best opportunity because you're not getting a full Arrowhead Stadium, too.
Yeah, you've got to go.
Where the
go
crowd
out
noise
there,
does play into effect.
Go out there and be as you have got to go out there and say and just pretend that Patrick Mahomes is going to put some point on the board on every drive, and you cannot afford to give him the ball back. That doesn't mean no punting. Like, you can punt on fourth and eight in the second quarter. But late in the game, if it's fourth and short and you punt it, you might as well just pack your bags and go home. If you're in a 24-21 game and you're trailing by three and you're like midfield and you're like, nah, we'll punt, we'll play field position. Yeah, good luck with that. And that's what I'm afraid of. I used to see it all the time with the Patriots. You'd play these playoff games with New England and it would be close. And you'd be like, hey, we got a chance to win this. But then you'd make that one mistake, that one dumb play, that third down conversion that didn't go your way or whatever it is. And the Patriots would then put the game away. And that's what Kansas City can do to this Bills team. Now, listen, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers have had a phenomenal year, but there is one thing about that week six game that I think people need to know is that, you know, Tampa Bay blitzed and was successful in blitzing Aaron Rodgers in that game. Now, that doesn't mean it'll happen, but it could be a game plan that might sort of, you know, be a good trend for the Buccaneers in that game. That's where I'm kind of leaning towards the NFC being the more competitive game. But it all depends on this week. We might have an answer down very soon about the availability of Patrick Mahomes in this one. All right, the Jake Asman Show is coming up next. Thanks for joining us on a really fun Throwback Thursday. We will see you tomorrow. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.